So welcome to our Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology office hours call for the month of July 2017. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, as you know, and I'm just really excited to be here with you guys, a group of passionate practitioners who are out there making a change in the world. And the goal of these calls that we have together on a monthly basis is for me to support you in your practice and however you need support, whether it be questions about a particular client, whether it be questions about content in one of the modules that you're going through, or whether it's just how to get yourself out there, particular specific marketing questions or business strategy questions or anything like that. So I'm here for you in any way. My goal is to have, like, I want to clone myself a million times, and I want people out there doing what I'm doing in the world and what you guys are doing in the world on a broad level so that we can finally change our system so that we can actually say we have a healthcare system. Quite frankly, I can't even call what exists out there a healthcare system. What is true health is what we're doing, and that needs to be way, way, way broader reach. So I want to do whatever I can to get that reach out there, and you guys are the way that I see as the most viable way for me to reach more people. So I appreciate you being here and doing what you're doing. And the way that you get help on this call is to do a star two on the phone. And I see already Marla has her hand up. And then I would have you do on the chat, just go ahead and type in a question or on the Q&A. Let me see if there's any questions on the Q&A. There's one question. So actually I'm going to start with that from Betty. She's just giving us an update. She actually joined IRSPT to support her brother, who was basically given up as not able to be supported on dialysis, et cetera. And she just started changing his diet and started getting him on chia seeds. And this is what she said. And we heard from her right before Spring Into Vitality, so it's about 2 months ago. My brother's so much better now. Should I get him some testing done? So that's a hard question, but let me finish. His congestive heart failure is gone. He's not having trouble with his heart anymore. It's just his kidneys now, and he has dialysis on. He does not have to go to bed after the treatment is over. He sits a little, and then he goes on with his day. It's amazing to see how well he has done in about 8 weeks, and he loves the chia. So, you know, in terms of testing, I don't know all that much about him, but I would certainly see if you can get him to test his blood sugar, hemoglobin A1C, fasting sugar, some of those things they may have already tested him on, and you can look at it before and compare it and then do it again. So if you're going to get some testing, you want to see how he's progressed, I'd certainly look at his fasting blood sugar, his hemoglobin A1C. I'd probably look at his homocysteine. What else would I look at? And I'd probably just get him to start testing his own blood sugar. Insulin. I'd look at his insulin levels. So look at those kinds of things. And congratulations. Great job. I'm just very excited for you, Betty. And Marla. Hi, Marla. Oh, Maria. Sorry, it's Maria. I had a little smudge on my screen between the dot above the, I'm cleaning it right now. There we go. I had a smudge on my screen and it made it look like Marla.
No Marla here.
No Marla. It's Maria. Hello, Maria.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I got a few things. One is I wanted to share a graph with you, but Lynn is going to see if there is a way I can share this screen or I can send you this graph. I want your input before I ask a designer to do it. And this is about, so you tell me what's the best way or,
well, in order to share it. You can go to probably either join me or Zoom. I can give you a link to Zoom, and
okay.
I'll put it in the chat, and everybody, if
okay,
they want to go there and see it, let me give you the Zoom link, and I'll just start that up.
Okay, and then I got a couple other things, but
okay. So let me find the INE Zoom. I'll just use this one. Okay, so I'm going to do a. Start my video. I'm going to get invite. Here we go. Copy URL. Yeah, so Maria's going to upload this or will share her screen. So if you want to watch it, you can, and I'll give you a link. And if not, no big deal. You know, you can just stay put on your phone or whatever you're doing. I'm going to put the link in the chat. And if you want to join us there, she'll share a screen.
Okay.
So go for it, Maria.
Okay.
I'll just shut off. I'm going to shut off my audio over there. So okay. Mute yourself when you get there. So we're just hearing you here. We'll just use the screen share over there. You cannot minimize. Okay, good. Yeah, go for it. Okay.
Okay. So I just say join the audio or test?
No, don't join the audio. Say no.
Join.
Or you can say join the audio, but then you can mute yourself out.
Oh, or just the phone and I'm not going to call. That's it.
Don't call it. No, yeah, don't call
yeah.
it. Yeah.
I got it. I'm just going to say continue. Can you still hear me?
Continue. Yeah. Yes, I can. I can hear you still on this
share,
one.
Share the screen.
Yep.
Okay. Can you see my launch Zoom screen?
I see your Zoom screen. Yep.
Okay, great. So let me pull this thing up. Okay.
Ooh, wow. Look at you.
Okay. So this is just, I had a version of this downstairs, but this board is a little bigger. And I want to make this mobile, and I want to be, you know, so I want to have this in different sizes and all that kind of stuff. But this, mm-hmm. I put a little bit more information on this one compared to the other one I had.
Nice.
But
you want to have a designer do this.
Yeah.
Or you want to keep it in your own writing. I'm going to tell you two things. Sometimes it's very hard to get it. It's probably harder to get it than get a designer, but it's sometimes really nice to have it in handwritten form. Sometimes handouts are nice in the handwritten form. So just keep that in mind. You just have to figure out a way to make a copy of it without, like, I see the little, the glare and all that kind of stuff. So it might be harder. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I got, so I want also to share this with you because I found, I know you're happy with your designer and all that, but I found this girl at Fiverr. She is a biochemistry kind of student and she loves this shit. I don't have to explain. Oh, pardon my language. I don't have to explain any of this to her. She is she has designed my Sweet Redemption logo that you saw.
Yeah.
And you know, when I gave this to her yesterday and I said, do I have to explain? I said, no, Maria, you have no idea. I crave this stuff. I never get it.
Oh, okay. You have to share her name because I have so many of those things in my head that I want to create, but it's really hard when you have somebody who's a great designer, but not, doesn't understand the science.
I know.
Please share.
So she's going to charge. So just so you know, right? She's going to charge me to design something like this. And she's creative too. $40, but she's going to give me in any format that I want. In all sizes, any format.
Oh,
I think it's worth it.
Oh,
I think
so
it's
worth it. So worth
it.
Most designers would charge you a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, what I would like us to do over here is, first of all, the goal over here is to give is I'm going to guide people through. I'm going to explain what's going on, but I want to give them the visual.
Yep.
So they can see how it is. And I have another one, you know, that is different, but when we put it together, it's all good. So I don't want to overwhelm people. I want to focus on the main, the critical hormones.
I love it.
And make them understand the importance of eating, you know, not every 2 or 3 hours. And I normally go into this in the cortisol. I explain on that. But I want them to get the idea of what his body is doing without overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
you know, them. What I would like your input into is, am I missing anything critical here or you have any suggestions?
Not missing, but there is an inaccuracy here.
What
okay. So the peak is 45 minutes.
Yeah.
The back down to normal is 2 hours. So the 4 to 6, that should say 2 hours there. And then the hungry and the empty, that should be going further out. Cause in between from the 2 hours to the 4 hours or six or whatever, that's when they're not really getting that feeling of hunger yet because the body's metabolizing and burning fat and whatever. So, I would say, 4 to 6 hours, but that's really 2 hours where it says empty stomach down here or about, well, it shouldn't say empty stomach and hungry. That should be further out, but they need to be flatlined.
Okay.
That's when they're using it. And that's when the ghrelin and the leptin is in place. That's when leptin and growth hormone are doing their things.
So that's what I tried to do over here on, you see the little sign, you know, the weekly thing over here on the side that says, okay, glucose is down, insulin is down, leptin is up, and fat burning is up. So
You're going to have them. It's when their blood sugar is back down to the normal that happens. So you have to just somehow move it out so that that stuff goes up there. All of that stuff there belongs further out and like right above the flat line. So you'll have this flat piece and you can do a jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. So you don't have to do it so long, but, that's what between those hours are, 2 to 6 hours.
So you're saying this over here where the fat burning should be more flat line, not on the way down.
It should be totally back to the baseline at 2 hours.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then all that good stuff that you put there, that's happening while the flat line. And then you want that nice flat line for hours, and then they get hungry, and then they eat again, and it starts all over.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was trying to make it now, but I think it would be more correct. Because at this point, when they get to about, that's where I start the wiggly thing, it's about 2.5-3 hours, right? And then, you're correct. The blood sugar is already low to that
already
point.
Already, yeah. Right. And that's during that period is when those others, the glucose is low. So the leptin and the growth hormone and all are doing their thing. Fat burning is happening. And you have this nice period where they're not hungry. They're satiated.
Yeah.
All this great stuff is happening in their body. And then, whoops, the stomach gets empty. Everything, starts to trigger the appetite. And boom, it goes up again.
Yeah, that would be more accurate.
You might even have a little mini that you can show them that has the multiple peaks without all the words, just an overview. So it's up at 45, it's down, and then it's straight out, and then up again, just so they see what like 3 meals a day looks like.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That would be a great idea. Yeah. So like one next to each other. But then, normally I explain to them what happens if they are eating every 2 or 3 hours. So they can see over here, they can see, that, okay, if you eat again, you're going to keep, climbing that mountain. That mountain is never going to go down.
No, but that's not true. It does go down. If they eat closer than 2 hours, it won't go down. But at 2 hours, it should be down.
Yeah.
But it's going to go right back up again. So that's why that other visual where you can show what the 3 meals separated should be. And then what happens if they go, and then you have the one where it's just a constant sine wave. And then you can show fat storage, fat storage, fat storage.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Oh, and I would make sure that in this thing with the high peak, during this peak, where that should say fat storage. This is when your body's storing, either using the energy or storing it as fat.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. Yes. That is correct. Yeah. I'll put that in there. Okay.
Yeah. But this is excellent to see. It's an excellent graphic for people to see.
Yeah. They normally get it. When I show this in words, they don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm very proud of all this whole thing. You know what I'm proud of?
Wow.
My little cell receptors, my insulin receptors. I love them. I love them.
It's cute.
Okay. So
you need to show damaged ones. There's a healthy insulin receptors, right? Show another one where the insulin receptors look like they're squashed or they're flattened or they're, somehow indicating.
I want to stay on the positive. I want to
stay
on the positive.
All right.
Okay. I'm done with this. I'll shut this down.
Thank you.
And I'm going to go to the next questions. That's okay.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. Leave the meeting. Okay. Okay. Good. We're down. Okay. We're down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I have a client, and I'm just looking for suggestions here. I just saw her today for the second time, and she finally realized after this, she's got some good changes already going from 1 week, to the next. But she realized that her big bear is her sister. Mm-hmm. And the moment, she said the name sister, the tears start coming down and. Mm-hmm. No, I tried to practice Laura's three questions about the feeling.
Yeah.
I think this woman had to just burst this story, and I just let her kind of go, And then the feeling was in her throat. But at least I got to where's the feeling, So I was proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
trying to practice Laura's stuff, but what do you, so this whole thing is this trauma since very young, his 30 years of trauma of this woman. She is, you know, the sister is the one that is the type A, slim, you know, beautiful, dress up, you know, eat 15 things, according to my client, you know, eat 15 things, and she's got all the energy in the world. And when they were kids, you know, there was one thing that my client was better, and she, you know, the sister came and no, right? This has been this woman for 30 years. So now she wants this relationship to get better. I ask her, would that feel good? How would that feel if this is out of your throat, right? It's out.
Yeah.
She wants this. What kind of approach do you think that I, you know, I was working on to the limiting beliefs and to asking questions, diving into her sister issues. I was thinking about, you know, not blogging, journaling things. She's not much a journal. How do you want me to start working on, you suggest me working on her?
Yeah, so you, this is challenging. So I would say she needs to see the positive in herself, right? So that positive aspects journal is really helpful.
I know.
Just sit down and every day write some positive things about yourself.
I know. Yeah.
She's right? Make her do pages, though. She's, because it's easy. You can even give her, I've never done this, but you can make templates for the pages, like the positive things about my body, the positive things about my, how I am as a mother, the positive things about how I am as a sister, a brother, whatever. So you can just have those so they have the ideas. Because when you tell people to sit down and write something positive about themselves, they freeze. But if you give them the guidelines, like, what's positive about your body? Look in the mirror. Oh, I really like my eyes. I really like the color of my eyes.
Okay.
Right? Simple things. I like my nails. They grow really nicely and they look good with nail polish on them. Whatever they want to say, right, about their particular areas. And you challenge her to every day just take a few minutes and write on whichever those pages you want to write on. You write.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At which point do you think that I might, you know, this is like a month program with this woman, so obviously this is not going to be addressed at all. Hopefully she will stay up, but she's a teacher, so life is going to become a hell very soon and no time for anything. So I'm trying my best to, I guess, get her to something positive. But at some point, there is a need for the sister to be engaged, right, and her having a conversation. But I think we're far away from that.
You know, that's not necessarily true, because sometimes they can release the energy around it themselves. Because here's the thing, she's not going to change her sister, and there may not be any positive resolution. The sister might continue to say, but look at you, you're dowdy, and you're that, and you've got these ugly skin, and, you know, and that I don't think is necessary. What's important for her, she can say what she wants to say to her sister, she can write it.
Yeah.
And if she wants to ever send it, she could, or say it. But I think the important thing is for her to actually start to feel good about herself, because until she feels good about herself, she's not going to be able to follow through on all the great suggestions you're going to give her, because she's going to not feel good enough. Unless you can turn the situation around and have it be like, you know, the big why. What's the big why? Is to be that, you know, to be my absolute best so that I don't feel inferior to my sister. And how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to feel good about yourself. Yeah, you're going to get your weight off or improve your energy or whatever it is she came to see you for.
Yeah.
That's
great, because that's what the kind of tone that I mentioned to her today. It's about you. It's not about her. It's how you see the situation, how you respond. So it's about working on her getting more confident and releasing the negative energy. So I'm on the right path on that. That's good.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. And you know what? A lot of times when people are like that, like her sister, if she's braggy about all her stuff, she's really insecure.
And she realized my client said she's got insecurities and she's got to do this and that and that. But, you know, it's one person saying something about the other. Really doesn't matter. This is, you know, it's how she sees herself and how she's making her better. She already understands that balance. When I mention her balance is about, it's okay to not be perfect every day. And so she's already understanding that. And So I like the idea of the positive thing. So maybe the guidelines is good. Give her pages to put every, you know, one day at least one word, whatever she feels like it.
Okay, yeah, if you go into the foundations module in ERC, which you guys have access to, just go in that, and there's a whole page on the Positive Aspects Journal that tells them, you know, it kind of gives them some ideas of how to do it. If you want to use that, you can.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. So the last thing is I want to share something with you. It's just an idea, and I can send this to you separate if you want. I've been in contact with a guy who developed an app called Exert, E-X-E-R-T. If you want to kind of make a note and download that, that's great. I would like to...
It's on like an iPhone app? Exert?
Yeah, yes, it's Exert, yes. So it's all about exercise. So this is a free app, and I created my kind of arena. It's a competition. It's a five people in each... arena, and they compete against another team. Okay, so it's team versus team. I think you're gonna really love this thing, and whoever else is on the call, I really would like to host this because I want to test it as me being the host, but it's free. There's no cost. Okay. And basically they provide you everything. They provide you the exercises, they provide you the routines, they provide you videos. They provide points, so you get points if you get points if you do the exercise. And it's normally 60 minutes, by the way. So you know, it's really burst stuff, okay? And then you get more points if you do like your workout of the day. It doesn't matter. If you go for your run, you can just, you know, you get 100 points. So so it changes kind of teams every, I think, 5 or 7 days kind of thing. And you can see, you know, team by team and who is in your team doing stuff, okay? And so very self-sufficient, motivating kind of app.
Cool.
So, and they launched, I think it was August or something last year, and I'm going to start kind of helping them with some of these, you know, scenarios or arenas that we can test it for corporate wellness or for your group, you know. I think it would be fun, our group, to do it. Maybe something in your ERC, Lynn, I mentioned this to Lynn, and Lynn says, oh, maybe she would be interested on the ERC group.
It's funny you're putting this out there, because just the other day I was thinking, after you did that video that I liked, I was thinking, you know, we got to invite Maria in for a guest appearance in ERC to really help get people motivated and put some, you know, some stuff on the site that they can get motivated. So let's talk about this, because it's right up the line of what I was thinking.
Okay, perfect. We can talk that. So you just let me know offline when you want to talk. And also, I would love, so if you join this thing, okay, this app, I will invite you to the arena that the guy is creating for me. And, and this is really quick. It's kind of fun, you know, because you wake up, you always got something, and you have videos. You don't have to tell people what to do. And it's great. Zero management, really. It is great motivation. So I just want to put the thought out there.
I just joined it, so look for
me. You just did?
Yeah.
So I'll see, I think, let me see how I invite people on that, because my friend invited me through email, I think, or text message, but I do have your phone number.
My text, yeah. And send me a message by text and let me know, you know, we'll set up a time.
Okay. That sounds good. So I think you're going to like this Exert thing. You can play around when you have a few minutes, but not just wait. Okay, I think that's it for me. Thank you very much for your help, and I'll let you go.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. Great job on that graphic. I love it.
Okay, thank
love
you.
It.
Yeah, thanks for the very, very key changes. Small but important. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Great job, Maria, huh? Let's see. Tony, awesome, creative. let's see, Sheila would appreciate getting a contact for the person Maria mentioned who's going to do her graphic. Yeah, so Maria, if you can, I don't know if you're on the chat, but if you can go ahead and post that. I don't know how you want to do that or if you want to share it with everybody or how you want to do that, but go ahead and, you know, you're free to do that. All right, so Eleanor. Hi, Eleanor.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And happy late 4th of July.
Yeah.
But I had two situations that I just wanted to get your advice on.
Sure.
One is a client that is getting hip replacement surgery, and they took him off all supplements, so I can't really give them any advice on what to do before because I don't want to mess around with their rules. But afterwards, what kind of protocol? I was thinking of putting him on Arnica, maybe 10 drops
sure.
a day, but just...
I would say Arnica for sure. Lynn actually has posted in our Facebook group. She posted a thing. I'm having an echo, so excuse me. But she posted in the Facebook group her surgery, some surgery recommendations.
Okay.
You know, recovery from surgery and I think some of it was pre-surgery, but I'm pretty sure she had a post-surgery. But you want to do things that are going to help him heal. So it's hip, right? So anything inflammatory, so anti-inflammatory like ginger, turmeric, vitamin C for sure, omega-3s, all that stuff is going to be important. Arnica, and then after a few days, I usually switch to Hypericum because there's usually some nerve stuff going on there as well as a homeopathic Hypericum. What else? You want to help with collagen support. So you make sure he's getting some extra protein, maybe get him on a protein powder so he's getting some extra easy-to-digest proteins or an amino acid supplement like the MAP.
I already had him on the, is it Purium or Premium?
Purium.
Or whatever.
Yeah, Purium MAP. Yep.
Yeah, I already have had him buy that.
Yeah.
And I have him, you know, he has protein powder. I know I'm going to heavy load him with protein. That
right.
was the one thing.
Right. But the other, there's nutrients that are involved in collagen support as well. Manganese is important. Vitamin C, which we already mentioned. So make sure he has enough of that.
You know, they're going to have him on a blood thinner because one of the things they're worried about is blood clots after surgery like this. And one of the, you know, I did have them talk to them about his supplements and they took him off everything and even said B12, you know, does thin your blood. Is there anything that would interfere with blood thinners that I should stay away from? He's on B12 and folate and,
Well, like any kind of blood thinner, you always want to be careful with vitamin K and, essential fatty acids because those can be blood thinners.
Okay, so
now
afterwards,
the sad part is they should be just putting him on natural blood thinners rather than all the
right.
stuff. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So even afterwards, do you think, and I know that's why they're one of the strict ones is the omega-3s for the essential fatty acids,
right.
but should I tell him, I mean, afterwards, do I need to worry about the K? Or,
well, are they going to
be K?
Keep him on, are they going to keep him on the blood thinners after, or is it just for 24 hours?
No, I think they do that for like a period of time because they are concerned. And I did have someone in my church have knee surgery and die 3 days later from blood clot. So I am like nervous about that piece. So I don't want to mess with anything.
Yeah, you can't mess with that. So yeah, the omega-3s, you got to, because it'll accentuate. It won't interfere with the blood thinners, but it'll exaggerate the blood thinners.
Okay.
You know who you might reach out to on Facebook is Laura Ricci. She's had several hip surgeries herself, and you may want to talk to her about what she's done protocol-wise afterwards.
Okay, I will. And I'll look for Lynn's as well. So good. Thank you for that. The other client I talked to you about on the case call, she's the 87-year-old woman. Just to remind you, her iron was going down, her ferritin was going up. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, her CRP elevated quite sharply. and we talked about it could have been an acute infection, and they advised me to, in 3 or 4 weeks, to go get her retested, which I did. It jumped from 1.2 in April 13th to 8.8 in May 11th. So I did get her retested, and it went up to 10 points something.
Oh, no.
So does that say to you we're not dealing with an acute infection, we're dealing with something chronic?
Yeah, there's something deep going on there.
Yeah, so what kind of testing? I'm trying to get her doctor to, you know, the doctor did, when the iron was going down, they did do an ultrasound of her female, you know, organs, and they found nothing there. But what kind of testing should we be doing?
You know, you want to be looking at internal bleeding. Like, this is like a hemolytic
right.
type anemia. So what else? I mean, did she have any? Was she in an accident? Was her spleen be hemorrhaging? I mean, there's a lot of... What are they saying? What do they want to do about this? I mean, this is the kind of thing where we definitely want medical intervention to figure out, like, what's going on? Is there some sort of – and acute is right because it's going up. It's like she's still in the stages.
Oh, so.
It's not like she had a cold or a flu. There's something. There's a pathology going on here.
Right. So originally the doctor sent her for the ultrasound to see if it was female-related. And then she wanted her to get this stool test that was a blood cult kind of a, and it took, and for some reason it took forever, they couldn't get it, and then it turned out her insurance wouldn't pay for it. So now I'm trying to get her to get the doctor to say, okay, so that, I can't get that, what do you think is the next thing? I am trying to get her doctor to, you know, because if you don't go in, the doctors don't talk to you, you know, you got
to
go in.
They have to go in, but I know, but they should be, I'm always amazed at, it's one thing with the chronic stuff, they have no clue, they've never been trained, they don't have the training, but acute stuff like this, you see somebody's numbers going up like that, and their iron going down and their inflammatory markers going up, you got to find out what's going on. There's
right.
something going on, and it's dramatic to go from 1.2, you said, in January,
In April 13th.
Was 1.2, and then it went up to 8 point something.
Eight,
and then
in May.
And now it's 10. There's something going on, and it's progressive, and it's in process right now. So that's what acute means. It's in process right now.
Okay.
So I don't know what, you know, in terms of testing, if she's not willing to do tests that her insurance won't cover, she's not going to be able to do any functional testing. But, I want to be finding a pathology. There's probably some kind of internal bleeding happening.
Yeah, I know. That's what the doctor thinks, too. But it's just taking a while. You know, she doesn't know that I retested her. I did give her that to give to the doctor. So,
Oh, the doctor, okay, yeah, so the doctor needs to know that went up even further. So they ruled out like a something in the ovaries. I mean, you've got to look at intestinal, you've got to look at kidneys. Spleen is what comes to mind a lot because of, you know, and that can happen even just a sharp blow that she wasn't aware of. Like people get in car accidents and they damage their spleen and there's some hemorrhaging going on. But is she bleeding from any orifices? She doesn't have blood
not
in her
really,
stool.
Not really, no, not really.
So the stool test would be the stool blood. She can do a simple guaiac test to see if there's any occult blood in the stool.
Which is just the test where you smear the poop and send it away. That's
yeah.
the point
yeah.
you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Like the tough spot.
Yeah, I mean, I know the doctor has looked at her blood work and says her liver looks good, her kidneys look good. I mean, all the blood work.
Yeah.
But would it show there or?
Well, then the intestines, you always look at the intestinal stuff, like does she have some sort of tumor in there that's bleeding?
Right.
Occult blood doesn't always show in the stool. You ask her if she has black, tarry stools,
yeah,
right, if she's ever noticed blood on her toilet paper.
Yeah, the only time is, you know, she did say, and she told the doctor, there's one little drop on her underwear. That's all she's ever seen, but nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So I guess I need to keep on her to get the doctor to get her to another test. It's just...
Absolutely, because this isn't like something that, oh, it was 8 and now it's going back to 6 and maybe it was a transient thing and it's going away. It's gone. Mm-hmm. This is still there. So
yeah.
Why is her iron dropping and her inflammatory markers going up? There's something going on.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to... give her some tests to ask the doctor to do if you have some suggestions. But I'm trying to,
nothing off the top of my head. I mean, there's certainly all kinds of anemia stuff, but I think you have enough just by knowing that the marker's going down.
Yeah. Okay, you gave me some of the organs. You said liver, spleen, kidney, because I was thinking, you know, once the female organs were crossed off, that the digestive tract was the main place that we should be looking. That's why I wanted to get your feel on that, that it could be more than the digestive tract. It could be other.
It could be. I mean, it sounds like if the lab tests are pretty normal for the others, they may or may not show. Has she had any autoimmune markers tested for? Because there is such a thing as autoimmune hemolytic anemia. Are her red blood cells low?
Her red blood cells, let me look at her spreadsheet. Hold on. The only thing that was out of range, I think, was MCV. Let me just see. Yeah, MCV is the only one that's out of range. And RDW, well, RDW is...
But the RBCs are not low? Did you compare the two? Or did you get them done both times or just...
Hold on, RBC. RBC is good. She had a little bit of high RBC years ago, but all the recent RBCs are good.
Okay, yeah, because the hemolytic usually, I mean, an autoimmune hemolytic usually destroys the RBCs, so they go down and that.
Yeah, they're doing good. They're going more on the high side than low side.
Increase in the number of red blood cells that are immature. Yeah, increase the reticulocytes. How about her bilirubin? Is her bilirubin changed?
Let's see.
I'm just reading up on this.
Okay. Bilirubin is perfect. Yeah, her alkaline phosphatase is low.
It's usually a zinc deficiency.
Okay.
Yeah, I would be doing some hemolytic anemia. Something's going on.
Something's going on. Okay, so I'm just going to be really adamant about just need to tell the doctor this new test and we need to get some testing done, and whatever the doctor feels is the right testing, we'll just do it.
Yeah. This sort of stuff is not within our, you know, it's this is the stuff that's not necessarily functional. This might be a pathology, and that's really something that's supposedly in the expertise of medicine.
And their thing, right, yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right, because I don't always know that stuff. What else? You know, if anything pops into my mind, I'll let you know, but I'm just thinking in terms of inflammatory markers going up, iron going down. And what about symptom-wise? What's she experiencing?
She's actually feeling better, but we did the Alcat with her. So we've got her on some of the supplements that she was deficient on, and we've got her on the iron, taking it correctly now.
Okay, so she
taking
feels
it with a meal, taking it with vitamin C. I mean, she can't do citrix. Causes urinary incontinence, and she actually is doing a supplement that has some vitamin C in with it, and taking that with the iron. And the iron does seem to be going up a little bit, but at the same time, we got this whole CRP thing happening. So I was, you know, I got excited about the iron going up 20 points actually, but then we got the bad CRP.
Did you look at her homocysteine? Might want to look at her homocysteine.
Her homocysteine, I do know her. It's 14.4.
So it's high.
Make sure she's got
her B12 and folate. And
right. That's what I started putting her on. Okay, good. I'm glad you said that. So she told me that she's getting angry. Now, I know that is anxious, but is it anger also?
Well, that's part of that spectrum. If somebody goes on methylated B12 or folate and they get angry, they get hostile, they have heart palpitations, they get
cranky,
they get any kind of anxiety type symptoms, then I would say that it could be that she has some other methylation defects in like the COM-T or something like that, that would be creating that. So you may want to back off that and get her on like a hydroxy B12 and a folinic acid.
I'm doing okay with the B12. The folate is the one that I got. I got the Seeking Health, and
Is it the liposomal that you got?
Yes.
And so how many drops is she taking?
Well, I'm trying to get her to take, let me just think if that's the 40 drop one or if it's the B12.
Oh, but don't start with 40 drops. You start with
one. No, I didn't. We started with half. We started with 14.
Nah. That's too much.
Okay.
That's too much. If you're concerned that somebody has methylation pathway blockages and you don't want them to be overmethylated, you got to start with one drop. Literally, just tiny amount. Okay, that worked. Two drops. Okay, that works. Three drops.
Okay.
Maybe a huge difference between three and four drops. So I would get her off of it completely for 3 or 4 days, get it out of her system, and then start with one drop. And then see if she feels better, if she doesn't feel angry anymore.
Okay. I will.
But there's something, if her homocysteine's high and her CRP is high going up, and what about her lipid panel? Does that look okay?
Let me see. I know that her LDL is not good because I've been trying to, she can't exercise anymore, and I've been trying to get her to exercise. Now, her LDL is clinically good, but not by it's 115.
Yeah, it's a little high. What about her HDLs?
Her HDLs are 49.
What about her triglycerides?
And 96. Triglycerides came down. This time her triglycerides came down, but she also lost a few pounds. So
okay, well that's definitely better. Yeah, I'm concerned about her stress on her heart, her cardiovascular system.
Well, that's what the CRP has got me really freaking out. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things don't move well. Doctors just they take care of you when you're there, and then they say come back 3 months, but I see this thing progressing, and I want to take care of it now.
Yeah, so I would do whatever you can to protect, as it's protective. You might even try some hawthorn berry just to be protective, liver and heart. Certainly the low-glycemic diet and, all that kind of stuff, because triglyceride HDL ratio is high. If you have her hemoglobin A1C or her glucose, that would confirm whether she's got an issue there. Fatty acids.
She has diabetes in the family, so we've been working on the diabetes. She checks her blood and everything. So
good. So I would do some fatty acids as well and get her. If she can't tolerate, have her drop off. If she can't tolerate the folic acid, even at the low dose, then go to folinic acid.
Yeah, I'm glad you triggered that one, because that was actually a question I forgot it. I was glad you said something that triggered that one for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's pretty good at telling me when, and she's very slow at adding things because she wants to see the effect of them before.
Yeah,
totally.
She should be.
Which is
but
good.
The thing
she's
is, that bothers me. I've seen people with CRPs high before, and they've had that panel for a while. For the CRP to go from 1 or 0.3 or whatever you said it was in April to 8 to 10, you got to catch that active process. And that's kind of out of our scope, really. That's something that she needs to have, some imaging or some other kind of testing to see if we can find that process.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm gonna get on her to get on the doctor, definitely. Okay.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So that was Eleanor. We have Isabel and then Cynthia. Hi, Isabel. You're mousy, squeaky again. You're all squeaky like you were a couple of weeks ago. No, I'm sorry, honey. We can't hear you. Maybe try calling it back again or checking your mic. Nope. Can't hear you. Sorry. I'm going to go on to Cynthia and let's see if you can fix your mic. Type in the chat. poor Isabel. Oh. All right. Cynthia.
Hello, Rita Marie.
Hello.
Couple of questions, and Lynn encouraged me to bring one to this call regarding the SIBO module. And
yeah.
You referenced SIBO robs the body of B12 and iron.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate more on that, please? How is that happening?
Well, you know, here's the thing, that B12 is absorbed in the distal ileum, and iron is absorbed somewhere in the jejunum. And I think it just impacts that. I'd have to go back up and look up the mechanism for that. But off the top of my head, I don't have it clear. But I'm thinking that the effect of the intrinsic factor, first of all, but that wouldn't be affected. But the distal ileum is where B12 is absorbed, and the other is absorbed in the jejunum. That's the only thing I can think of. I'd have to go look up what the mechanism is.
Okay. Okay, and then this is for new clients.
The common manifestation, yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting that I'm still trying to gather her intake paperwork. She's been very resistant for some reason. Anyway, she just got a diagnosis yesterday that the results of her endoscopy and colonoscopy were negative for so many things, but they did declare her with pernicious anemia.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to understand that, and I haven't really dug in yet. Do you address that in the upper GI module?
Well, pernicious anemia is a B12 deficiency, so you have all the B12 deficiency signs. So from a fix the problem and then fix the root kind of standpoint, you want to get her on sublingual or patch B12. Because she's
right.
Not going to be able to absorb it. And so it's generally a problem with the stomach. And it's usually it could be an autoimmune. She could have antibodies against intrinsic factor. Those are measurable. She could have problems with the parietal cells.
Yeah. Is pernicious anemia, that diagnosis, not definitively autoimmune?
I think it's autoimmune. I mean, it doesn't have to be, I think. I don't know that they medically classified if it's always autoimmune. I mean, because you can certainly have damage to the parietal cells from other things. And so the difference between pernicious anemia and straight B12 deficiency is that B12 deficiency is there's nothing wrong with the stomach. It's just, you know, either there's not enough or there's not malabsorption in some other way, whereas pernicious anemia is an identified issue with the intrinsic factor. So I'm not 100% sure if it's – let me look it up.
Okay. All right. So – but – approaching this as if it's autoimmune.
I would approach it as if it's autoimmune. You can have those antibodies tested, and you can either do that. The doctors can order that test or any Quest or LabCorp or whatever, or you can do like the Cyrex Array 5 to see if there's other things that are going on. Or you could just assume it's an autoimmune and treat it like an autoimmune, right? You've got to heal her leaky gut, identify what the stressors are, get her off the gluten, dairy, and sugar, get her on an elimination diet, get her on a high antioxidant-rich diet, get her B12 in other forms. There's a new patch that just came out that has no folic acid. I had stopped using the B12 patches because they had folic acid, and I didn't want synthetic folic acid, but there's a new one that just came out that doesn't. So that's a real easy way to take it, B12 shots. So that's going to reverse because you don't want it to go into all the neurological symptoms. And so you need to nip it while you're figuring out how to correct it. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the side effects of not correcting it are very strong.
Yeah, she is taking shots, and she's continuing to take the one that has, is it cyanide in it?
Oh, cyano, yeah.
Cyano, and she's continuing to go in every few weeks for those. And then she has started now injecting herself with the other form that...
Oh, with the methyl?
With the methyl, yep. And... you know, I feel like I can't tell her to stop the first kind, but I can suggest that she really think hard about whether it's doing her any good, mm-hmm. and source an article about the cyanide in it, right? Is it cyanide in it? I'm getting confused.
Yeah, it's cyanide. It's cyanocobalamin. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it might be trace amounts. It depends on how much she's getting. She's getting it injected in. I'm more concerned that it's ineffective than that it's dangerous. It could be dangerous in high amounts, certainly. Absolutely. But my biggest problem with most people taking it is that they're taking it in lieu of a more effective form. And if they have any methylation issues, it's not doing them any good. And they're developing a B12 deficiency. So pernicious anemia does look like it's thought to be mostly autoimmune in nature. So I would definitely be treating this as an autoimmune or helping guiding her to correct imbalances related to autoimmune. I mean, you could literally take the protocols we've put together for Hashimoto's and follow them because all those things are going to apply.
Yes. Okay. Could her B12 injections have folic acid, or do you know that?
Don't know. She'd have to check with her doctor. It's possible that sometimes they include other Bs, and there could be synthetic folic acid, which could be problematic if she has an MTHFR SNP.
Yeah, okay. And then the SIBO pernicious anemia connection?
Let's see, that I don't know for sure. Pernicious anemia and...
I really appreciated the NEPT call last night, too, when... and Steph Jackson in your interview. I've listened to so many.
Oh, yeah.
we don't freak out our clients with, you know, terminology, you know.
Right.
That was really, really helpful because this woman's been suffering for like 7 years since she ate a Subway sandwich that had been sitting out all day. And she hasn't, her life has never been the same since she ate that.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was, her lifestyle and her family of origin, she was headed in this direction, but that, kind of threw her over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
She's with Kaiser, so that's like rolling a boulder uphill, right? And everything I say, the gastro counters. So.
Yeah, well, that sounds common, right? That's great.
Yeah.
Who was on the phone yesterday talking about her daughter and the gastro and all the stuff that they were – it's like, yeah, that was Elaine. I'm looking at, found on Dr. Becker's site, a link to an article linking bacterial overgrowth, pernicious anemia, intragastric bacterial possible consequences. It doesn't look real specific, but it definitely is a possibility. That's what showed up when I did the search. Let me see. Pernicious anemia. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Is B cells or deficiency a symptom of a larger issue? Let's see. People use keywords in their articles just to get search results, and the articles don't always have anything. It's a nasty trick. I don't like it. There does seem to be, there's a number of studies that do seem to link it. I can't tell you the exact mechanism, one causing the other causing one. Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth and hemolytic anemia. Yeah, I think there's a connection. Has she had a test for SIBO? Is that why you're asking about SIBO?
Well, a lot of symptoms, foodborne illness. 7 years ago when things changed, constipation, although her mother has had a history of constipation, she's really type A, so she's really wound up tight, and I think she lives more towards negativity and pessimism, actually.
Right. That's an autoimmune profile, by the way.
Is that right? Wow.
Gas
and bloating and the constipation and, of course, the gastro says you can take 2 glasses of Miralax every day.
Right. Don't get to the root cause. Just fix it right from there.
He says SIBO is a test that you do when somebody's had part of their small intestine removed.
Yeah, and I don't know that the tests are always that accurate, quite frankly. So
yeah.
I really don't run them. I go by symptoms.
Yes.
In some cases where we're not getting results, then I may run it. But sometimes you get false positives, sometimes you get false negatives. Just depends. And the test is a real pain to do because of the restrictive diet. They don't want you to eat any fibers for a few days beforehand. I would look at it like, you know, you want to do all the things you're going to do to deal with an autoimmune. And guess what? Those are all the things you're going to do to get her healthy in general.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Deal with the leaky gut. Deal with the heavy metals. Deal with liver toxicity. You know, it's like we don't treat diseases, but when you look at like the things that you need to do to get this disease or that disease under control, you know, there may be some slight variations in particular herbs that are specific for particular systems. But in general, you know, it's that whole protocol of get her blood sugar balanced, get her digestion in order, make sure the stress is under control. All those things are going to contribute, you know, with autoimmune, extra antioxidant support, which is awesome. Glutathione, topical glutathione, intravenous glutathione, however she could get it, liposomal glutathione, those things are going to help with inflammation. But she's got to get a good source of the B12, which it sounds like she's on the way to anyway, to keep her from having the B12 deficiency symptoms at, you know, really badly. And then she's got to get that calmed down. Now, oftentimes if there's damage in the stomach, there, because of the antibodies, there may actually be damage to the mucosa. So some of the things that are mucosal support and building, like the things we talk about when we talk about a GERD and gastritis. So the slippery elms and things like that, but you have to watch for that because sometimes that particular fiber may aggravate her, SIBO if it's bad. So you gotta tread lightly with that stuff. But that
right.
can certainly be helpful. Plantain, marshmallow, all those things that are mucilaginous are also contraindicated, not 100% contraindicated, but in some people with SIBO. So how old is she? She's at 40 and that was the other person. How old is she?
Like 45.
She's 45. Okay. Same range. And then what is, her size? Is she overweight?
Actually, she has been dropping some weight, I think with the Miralax, which sounds like it's a new thing. She's also got fibroids, so I listened with great interest last night to the conversation around the fibroids, and her period has become heavy just in the last few months. So I'm gathering all of her stuff, Dr. Rita Marie, and I'll bring this as a case study. Like so many of our clients, she's really struggling.
She's struggling. Has she changed her diet? Is she willing to change her diet? Because that's the foundational pieces. And again, you know, when you're looking at multi-systemic stuff like that, if you try to work on each individual thing as if it's separately, which is what medicine does, you go to the gastro, you get to the endo, it doesn't work. You've got to take it from the start and foundations. Get her sleeping. Stress down, get her on good nutrient support, add extra nutrients where she's missing, and get her on the good diet, get her off the allergens. With SIBO, we have that handout that I gave you. It should be in the SIBO section, but it's the modified SCD FODMAP diet. With SIBO, and also could be very helpful for autoimmune, is some sort of, not an elimination diet, elemental type diet. And the elemental powders they sell are pretty awful, gross, and, you know, nasty ingredients. But even something like a MediClear Plus from Thorn, 4 or 5 days of just that, or something like that, maybe add a little bit of green powder if she tolerates it to get her some nutrients, that could be really helpful.
Two things. Dr. Ruscio on SIBO Summit, he mentioned that the elemental diets are actually improving in flavor. Taste and all of that?
Well, it's a quality too. It's not just the flavor. Because the quality of those things, most of them had all kinds of crap in them. And then they mostly had the crap in them to make up for the flavors. So they put sweeteners and artificial flavors and all this other garbage. But yeah, I've created elemental diets for people, you know, using good solid protein powders, whatever they tolerate, whether it's a pea protein or a rice protein or a sacha inchi or collagen or whatever. And you can actually use those as basis and create your own elemental formula. And that's what gives it a rest. Fasting can be helpful, and fasting with some extra amino acids to keep the body from breaking it down. I mean, just giving the digestive system a rest and influxing it with high nutrient dense, even juices, sometimes certain juices with protein powder in it can be helpful. Yeah. And omegas, just as an elemental kind of diet.
Okay, good. And we got to look at her thyroid too.
Well, I was going to say that, because her thyroid, you know, here's the thing. Autoimmune diseases do not come in isolation from each other. That's what people don't look at it. It's like, oh, Hashimoto's is one disease and pernicious anemia is another and Sjogren's is another. No, they are all linked. And whatever the weak link in that person's body or weak links are, the body's going to attack. So generally we see them, they come in pairs, triplets, quadruplets. They don't like to be alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's probably other stuff going on, right? So deal with the core, deal with the basics, get her on a solid autoimmune. If you look at the SIV handouts, I gave a really cool, actually new thing. I don't know where I'm going to put it in NEPT, but I'll find it and we can put it in I'll post it in the Facebook group. But there's a thing I put together for an autoimmune protocol. So you know you have the autoimmune paleo, but this is a improvement, I believe, on autoimmune paleo. And it's something that I thought that you guys would like. And I gave it out at SIV this year. So we'll pull up that and I'll make sure that we post it to the NEPT Facebook group.
Oh, awesome. Okay, great.
Okay. Yeah, because that could be a good starting point, because it's really what you're looking at is an elimination diet. Eliminate, eliminate, eliminate. But don't just eliminate for 2 years. How many people here know that have eliminated all this stuff and they're still doing it and then they become malnourished and all? And that's not the way it goes. It's eliminate for some length of time to rest the system and then have a very deliberate process of adding it back. And this is where allergy testing doesn't really work, because it's not allergies. It's not an IgE, IgA, IgG response. It's a specific sensitivity of the body to particular chemical constituents.
Right. Well, when she told me on our initial call that she has a high processed diet. Oh, she also said that they wanted to remove her gallbladder a few years ago. They started talking to her about that. So there's further clues there.
Let me just tell you this. These are the kind of people, that if they are willing to do the stuff, they get the best results. The hardest people to work with are the ones that come in and tell you they've eliminated this, they've eliminated that, they've got this, they're taking that, and they're telling you all this stuff and you're going bug-eyed, like what the hell else is there left to do?
Yeah.
There are usually, but those are the harder ones. These are the folks that you make these minor changes, you're going to see major shifts in how she feels if you can get her to do it.
Good. Okay. Perfect. Well, she's we're going to get there. I got to stay positive because she's not.
Well, what you do is you go in there positive. And if you use in the Master Tracker, if you go to the link right now in the resources page and go to Master Tracker, I just added like 10 videos to that page. And look at the one on this thing that I created called Findings and Recommendation. And in that, you can actually use that, fill that in and sit with a person and get them to see how many things they're going to have to do and how positive you feel that this is an imbalance. This is an imbalance. This is an imbalance. And then you say, okay, what are the first ones we're going to start with? How can we do this together? What are you willing to do to start? Let's get that going. Okay, this is what I think is the most important. But then they see that you have a plan for them, because nobody's ever had a plan. It's just like, take this test, take this medication. You have a plan. And you say, and if you can link what she's experiencing, like we're doing right now, right? Link what she's experiencing to the kinds of things that you can shift, the kinds of biochemical changes that diet and lifestyle can shift. And then she goes, oh, I didn't know those were connected. Oh, I didn't know those were connected. As opposed to trying, you know, sometimes we jump in, and I've been guilty of it myself. No blame here. But you jump in and you go, they have this, and they have this, and they have this, and you're trying to fix the problems.
Right.
Rather than doing what we know, which is foundational changes to improve the biochemistry and know that the root cause, what's the root cause of all of this? She has a crappy diet and a very stressful life.
Yeah.
That's the root cause, right? We're always, what's the root cause? What's the mechanism? What? She's got a crappy diet and it's affecting all of her systems.
Right. Right.
And she needs to she can't just put out the fire alarm like the Miralax is doing. She can't just pull out the battery. She's got to go to the cause.
Right.
Okay?
Perfect. Yes. And, it's such great work we're doing, Dr. Rita Marie. Thank you
so
much.
We're changing the world. Thank you for being part of it.
We are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, let's see if we can get Isabel to get off of chipmunk mode. Hello, Isabel.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. It sounded like you were just trying to tell me all this stuff, but it's like, did you think that was Isabel? I know she's trying to tell me something. I have no idea what.
Okay, it's all fixed and good. I have a couple questions. First one is I ordered the iodine loading test.
Okay.
Okay, and in the instruction, it says to take the iodine loading dose as prescribed by your doctor. So am I supposed to order something and take
that? Which company did you order it from?
I ordered from Dr. Stata. I ordered it through your website.
Yeah, I want to take that down and just have people go through Hakala. Hakala actually sends you the 50. Yeah, you got to get the iodorol, 50 milligrams.
Oh,
that's why I keep telling people, I got to tell them to take that down because I don't even like that. Just go to Hakala Lab. But you already have it and you already paid for it. So,
So this is Doctor's Data. Is it a different lab?
Yeah, Doctor's Data is one lab that does it. Hakala, H-A-K-A-L-A. So if ever you want to order it for your clients, go to Hakala.
Okay.
And Hakala will allow direct access through you, through them, and they'll ship to any country in the world. I've had them ship to Germany and Canada and wherever else. And they send you the loading dose. They send you two capsules, two pills of the iodorol in case you drop one or whatever, have to do it again. Yeah. But that's why I love them. They're great. So, Doctor's Data, I put it on my site at that point because we do a lot of Doctor's Data stuff, but then it's like I just tell people to go to Hakala. Don't bother going through my site. Anyway, so you've got it. So you need to get iodorol, 50 milligrams. And it'll probably be like 12.5, and you're going to take 4.
Okay. And I could order that on?
I order all you can get on Amazon. You can,
Amazon. Or any of the,
any place. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure that there's some iodorol on Emerson. I've not ordered it there, but.
Okay. Okay, yeah, it didn't come with it. I was like,
No, it doesn't. That's the problem. That's why I switched to telling people to go to Hakala.
Okay, I'll do that.
Or Hakala, as some people say. I have no idea what the right way to say it is.
How do you spell it, just in case?
It's H-A-K-A-L-A.
Okay.
And you can actually get an account with them. And if they order it through you, you get a percentage, or you can give them a percentage off. I've never done it, but it could be helpful.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah. I was on part of your Vital show, or I saw the replay, and I noticed that you mentioned you got an account, a wholesale account with Artisana, where you get the coconut.
We do,
butter.
Yeah, we do.
So I did that too. So I emailed them and got it.
Oh, good. Yeah, you have to order a couple cases at a time, but if you use a lot of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, four cases.
Four cases.
And then I could do that during my couple of cooking classes.
Oh, yeah, and you can sell them back to your people there.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And they're really cheap, so they're, much cheaper. So
much cheaper than buying it out at the store.
Yeah. So
any of you who want to do that, as long as you're willing to spend the money to get four cases. It's four cases of six, though, right? It's four cases of six.
Yes, four cases of six.
And it's mix and match. Okay. So it's minimum of six of each one. But if you like almond butter or the coconut cream or the coconut oil or any of that, and you just go to Artisana and set up a wholesale account.
Yeah. So they'll ask you for a sales permit. I have a sales permit.
Oh, yeah. That's easy to get, though. Anybody could get one of those. So if you don't have one of those, you just go to your state board, and I think it's the state board of collections or something, and you do get a sales tax permit. That's all you need. It just proves you're a business.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. At first, I thought a case is 24. It's like, I can't order four cases.
Oh, yeah, four cases is 24. No.
Okay, well, six. In the case, okay, I could do six.
I could do that.
Four cases of 24. So, okay, yeah. So that's good. One other question is my sister, I was talking to my sister this morning, and she said she's on three different types of antibiotics because she has a vaginal bacteria infection. So the doctor put her on like three different types, and I told her you need to get off that. And then last night you were talking about the suppository.
Yep.
Right. So
yeah, we were talking about that with Anna Kabeca on the show. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get the vaginal suppositories of probiotics. You can just stick probiotics up, or you can make your own, however you want to do it.
Okay. And I did, I went on Amazon and I saw some that's already, that's ready and available, and those were okay to use, right? It's just not gonna
Yeah, it just depends on, you know, like if you're trying to get somebody to have a specific balance, then you'd want to make your own. And if you want them super high potency, like for SIBO, if they have SIBO and you don't want them swallowing, I use them anally. I use the suppositories. But for vaginal, you're not necessarily looking at those super high doses that you would want. Or the strain pop. Yeah, so you can usually get those. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll just order some of that for her.
Yeah. And all the other things Dr. Anna said, you know, about vitamin C and immune support and all that.
Yeah, she has autoimmune, so.
Yeah.
And I've been telling her she needs to, you know, to change her diet and her lifestyle, and that's. And she's doing it slowly, but
yeah. You know, some people, it's really interesting. I always find this interesting in working with people and family members and all that, is that some people like hear it, they go, oh my God, I'm hurting my body. I'm going to change it. And that's it. Right. And they don't even have to have a real serious condition. Like for me, it wasn't cancer. I didn't have heart disease. It was just or autoimmune. I just had adrenal fatigue and digestive woes and headaches and sinus problems. And I'm like, oh, I'm causing this by what I'm eating. Holy cow, I'm going to change. It was like, boom, just like that. And we work with people like that. Those are the best people to work with. Then we work with the people who have cancer or autoimmune disease, which are pretty serious, and they just want to take it slow. And that's always the challenge. You're like, we may run out of time. You know, you're keeping to damage. You got to do this quickly, but you can't rush them. That's the hardest thing to learn and to deal with. You can't rush them. They have to go at their own pace. But you can be strong in your recommendations. Like, if this were me, I would be doing this, 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 and this right now. I wouldn't wait because I don't want to waste time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, she does realize that, you know, there's something. She did tell me that there's some emotional part to it, too, that she understand all this, but somehow it's like really just kind of stuck or not able to take action.
Yeah. We're going to have Jane talk a little bit about that on the webinar this weekend, the workshop this weekend, about those emotional blocks that keep people from being able to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Okay. That's all I have. I know most of it is, you know, she's got to change her diet and all that stuff.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you. Good questions. I'm glad. Did you ever figure out what's wrong with your microphone? I know it's happened before.
Okay. So when I dial into Zoom, it's fine. I could select which microphone I use and I select the right one and I sound okay. But when I dial in, right, this call is on, is it teleseminar or?
This is instant teleseminar, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not able to select my microphone, which sets it to a different one. I have like three of them connected, so it probably sets it to a different one.
So do you have to unplug the others and Is that what you have to do?
Yeah, and I dial in. I happen to dial in.
Oh, dial in.
So
okay.
Dial in right now. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think so, if you, before you connect via Instant Teleseminar, if you go to your Microsoft microphone settings on your desktop,
oh,
you have to change it before
okay.
you dial in. But if you change it
before
after
dial
you dial in, you can't. Yeah, it's not in Instant Teleseminar. So you just go to the microphone and set it. But I found that if I tried to change it during, it didn't work.
Okay. Okay. I have to remember. I have to remember that.
Okay.
To do that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And, yeah, and let me see. My cousin, actually, well, I have all these family members that I could help them, but they're not, like, really.
Don't we all? If we could
but
just short our family
yeah.
members money and treat them all, we'd all have thriving practices, right? Because they're all messed
Yeah, and actually she has, she found fibroid and she's going to have a surgery next month. And prior to that, earlier this year, or late last year, she had breast cancer. So she removed one of her breasts.
Oh gosh.
And thyroid.
And she's still not willing to change her diet.
She's pretty good. She actually did,
she's on
raw food diet. She's on juicing. She's eliminated.
Okay.
Animal product, but her mom, my aunt, she's like, why are you not eating meat? You're not getting enough nutrient and all that. So she,
my mom did the same to me. She, you know, she's dead. I'm here long after. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Right. It's the moms do that. That's just the mom's way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's doing pretty good. I'm trying to get her to do the, yesterday we talked about that, to the Dutch complete test.
Yeah.
To see where she's at, because that's a lot of hormonal issue that she's experiencing.
Right, right. And the thing with fibroids, I mean, Warshawski's book is a good resource, and it takes a lot with fibroids. And Tori Hudson's another good resource, but she'll say that it's one of the harder things to deal with naturally, and people have to be super dedicated. And there's emotional components to it as well. I mean, if you look at the adverse childhood event studies or experiences studies, I mentioned those in the NEPT newsletter last weekend. If you look at those and you look and you just do some searching on fibroids, a lot of people have had sexual abuse and develop fibroids. It's almost like the body, like building a wall around that area to protect it. It's quite interesting. Quite interesting connection, you know. So it's really, and I know those are things that we don't always bring up. And if you read like Childhood Disrupted, they talk about how, you know, it really needs to become part of that intake that we do, that hard intake. Have you had abuse? Have you had sexual abuse? Have you been molested? What kind of, you know, were you beaten by your parents? What kind of things? Or even if you don't do that, what you can do is print out that or make a PDF copy of that. The ACEs quiz or the ACEs scoring test or something, just look it up. Adverse childhood experiences, ACEs test. And if we just give that to people as part of their intake, that could be a really good thing to do. I think more and more that should be a standard part of medical intake.
Okay. Okay, that's a good suggestion. Okay.
Yeah, and you know what else is Dr. Keisha, who I talked to last week about her book, The Autoimmune Puzzle. I had a Facebook Live interview with her, and she talked about how it's related to autoimmune disease, how those adverse childhood experiences, and she shares her own story and her stories of her various patients that she's helped with it.
Okay.
And she goes, yeah, I know exactly how to. And there's, you know, there's a lot of exercises you do to overcome that. And she says, I know how to get my autoimmune disease back. She says, but once I figured this out, 6 months later, it was gone. Severe rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. So it's really a piece we have to be looking at. We totally have to be looking at.
Okay. Yeah, that's a tougher piece too. Some people don't want to go in.
Oh, they don't want to go there. But if you have just this quiz that they take, and even reference like materials they could go read.
Okay.
If you would identify that, you can say, you know what, there's this book. You have autoimmune disease, and it might be related to some of these bad experiences you had as a kid. Why don't you read this book? Childhood Disrupted is one, and the other one is the Autoimmune Puzzle.
Okay. Okay.
And both of them. Okay. Then that way you're just giving them a resource, and you're not having to have them in an embarrassing situation where they have to talk about it.
Okay.
related to clinical stuff. Okay.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right. And we have Cynthia again. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. I'm wondering if you have a resource for studies or articles connecting insulin resistance to muscle loss.
Not off the top of my head, but just go to Medline and do a search.
Okay.
I don't have any
off
the top of my head. I may in my, multitudes of files. I used to collect paper files years ago, and now it's just files on my computer. Yeah, but I think Dr. Google, yeah, I would go there and really just look at the good studies. If you go to Google Scholar,
oh,
do you know how to do that? Google Scholar will search all the medical journals or the scientific journals. So instead of just regular Google, you go to Google Scholar, and then you type in the things, or you go to Medline.
Okay.
Medline has a lot. And, yeah, I'm sure there's some, but I don't have anything in particular. And just because of its impact on growth hormone.
Have you seen it in practice?
Have I seen it in practice? Yeah, I see. You know, what I see is people, they have difficulty putting on muscle, even if they're working out. And I see that, with the insulin elevated all the time, there's no fat burning that's going on. So their lean mass is actually going down. They're not getting the growth hormone when they should. And growth hormone affects the muscle mass. So, yeah, I think that they definitely are connected. But I think it's going to be pretty easy for you to find some studies on that.
Can we test growth hormone?
Yep. You can. They do it. You can do it in blood. And I'm not sure the ranges and all that, but I've usually seen it done on the Meridian Valley 24-hour urine test. And they do like the Dutch test, they do one that's similar. And that one of the things that you can order, and I think you can order it on its own, is growth hormone.
Okay.
And it's over 24 hours.
All right. Because of your insulin module or program, Dr. Rita Marie, I'm just revisiting several clients and looking at how their fasting glucose is inching up. This guy, because of several conditions that has limited his exercise, last year in April was 88 fasting, and May of this year is 106.
Ouch.
And it's been trending upwards. There was a dip to 80 in January, but, he's not able to exercise because of what did he hernia.
Oh,
so,
well, here's the thing, though, right? You can't do certain exercises because of hernia. You're not going to be doing weightlifting with a hernia. You're not going to be doing squats and things like that. But there may be some things that he can do that's strictly sitting in a chair, stabilized in his back, even with a brace, and doing some exercises with his arms.
Yeah. Right? He's actually had the hernia surgery, and he's coming back from it. So he is getting out. But, that vicious cycle of thinking that you can't do anything and then getting into the depression.
Oh, yeah.
One of my first things was get outside for, at dawn and dusk, and I don't care if you sit and have your tea but I'd like you to walk, and that has been very, very helpful for this gentleman. Very helpful.
Yeah. Walking is underrated. It really is. Walking is so much better for us than we think. We think of it as a wimpy exercise sometimes. I just did a search, and there's a gazillion things. I'm not reading them through, but I've just posted three links related to muscle loss, accelerated muscle loss and aging as a result. Here's one in the Journal of Endocrinology. So I think that there's definitely a connection.
Okay. And okay. You mentioned Nakazawa's book, The Autoimmune Puzzle. Is it the autoimmune?
Puzzle? Nakazawa is the one that's the childhood events. The Childhood Disrupted is Nakazawa. And then the other one is Keisha Ewers, Ewers, The Autoimmune Puzzle.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, good. So much good stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, lots of good stuff. There's always stuff to learn. That's what makes life fun, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're going to be going to 120, aren't we, learning all this stuff.
Oh, no, I'm way beyond that.
You are way beyond that?
I'm going way beyond that. I'm going to 240. That's my goal. I'm going to defy everything.
Oh, I love it. I'll be excited to see you there.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm not looking forward to it. I like where I am right now, and I just, you know, I feel like time has stood still for the last 30 years, so that's kind of really cool.
That is very cool. Well, thank you for showing us the way, Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, so we have, Lynn posted the links to childhood disruption and the autoimmune puzzle. Let's see, let me see what else questions might have been typed in. If you get self-filled in class in order to get the certification, such as downloading interviews, is there another way to get you the required information? Okay, so, Margo, maybe Lynn and you can work it out. Okay. Let's see. Would B6 be good to lower homocysteine? Yeah, B6, B12, and folate. everybody was laughing at Isabel's chipmunk impersonation. Wow, I'm going to check into the summer person. She sounds cool. All right, so Margo and Lynn are working that out. All right. Okay. Sheila, surprised me how many people say they have no food issues, yet they have arthritis, fatigue, insomnia, rosacea, or eczema. They do not make the link and need to educate. That's our job, you know, and doing more of these kind of presentations, public presentations. Even Karen Osborne was sent me a text earlier that she had done her eating for bone health talk that she did similar to what she did at SIV. She did it at a home, you know, a place that they were looking at for her mother, to put her mother, one of those, you know, retirement kind of communities. And they loved it, and they referred it to other places. And now all these retirement people want to hear about it because they had no idea that their bone loss and their hip fractures had anything to do with it. So I would say pick a topic and start doing some community education to educate people. You know, eczema is a food disease, right? What do these diseases have in common? Fatigue, insomnia, rosacea, and eczema. And leave it at that and have them come see what you have to say. We need to educate people big time. Education is the key to health. Okay, so let's see if there's anything else, and let's see what my time. I got to go for the next call. Lynn says, I was speaking with somebody that's working online but continues to eat bread and ice cream. When I mentioned gluten, she said she is Lyme, not a food sensitivity. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Michelle, I'm not sure I understand your question. Did she do any marketing stuff? I got my times mixed up, thought the call was starting at 4:30. No, I didn't see your plan, your marketing thing. Where did you submit it? I don't know where you submitted it, but we can do it on another call. I didn't get it. Okay, I've got another call. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.